Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, Director of Worship Arts for the Gathering, alongside Associate Pastor Reverend Eric Meyer. This is our very first episode, so we welcome you and hope you enjoy. Today on the podcast, we are beginning a new worship series called Walking with God, as we explore themes from Luke's Gospel and themes from the movie The Way, starring Martin Sheen. Our scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. We've been traveling through Luke's Gospels for the past several months almost now. We follow the lectionary calendar here in the church, and which means we are tied to we are following along with many of the church all around the world, reading the same scriptures this morning and going through those things. But we also try to craft some wonderful worship series around that here as well. So as we begin this week, we are Walking with God, our new sermon series for this month of August. Hope you come back and join us, as Eric already talked about. And we find ourselves in Luke chapter 12. Hear this word. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our destination lies somewhere on the other side of those mountains, through the valley, over the mountain that we can see 500 miles from where we are today. And over the next 3 weeks, we will get there. And on the way, we will be walking in silence sometimes. In July, we spent a month on the road meeting God through the lives of others. This month, we'll spend 500 miles walking the trail, just ourselves and God. Asking and seeking the answers for two of the most important questions in life. Ken, can I get you to volunteer? Well, yeah, we all have choices.
Understood.
This is the first question. Ken, my name's Eric. What do you want?
In life and what?
It's just a question that you can answer as you see fit. What do you want?
Well, at this stage, and this, I feel like this is coming off too rehearsed because we did it last hour, but I didn't know the question then. At this stage, stability, routine.
Why would you want stability and routine?
Because I got a toddler and a baby. Oh.
Makes sense. Thank you. Now it's your turn. I invite you to stand and introduce yourself to somebody you might not know so well. This could work with your family, but it's better if you reach out to people around you. Introduce yourself. Ask them, what do you want? What we want is the easiest of the questions. It's a question we can ask a stranger. It's a question we're willing to respond to from a stranger. The next question is much more difficult. What do we need? What we need is often a question we aren't willing to respond to right away. What we need is something we need to think about. And when I talk about what I need, often I'm only going to talk about that with people with whom I'm very, very comfortable. People with whom I have faith that they have my best interests in mind. People that I have faith won't hurt me. What do I want? World peace is the first thing that came to mind. But then as I think about world peace, I think about the fact that I can't have peace in the world if there isn't peace in my country first. And I realize then I can't have peace in my country. I don't have the time to think about peace in the country if we don't have peace in our community. And if I get really serious about it, I realize I can't work for peace in my community if I don't have peace at home. That leads me to what I need. I want world peace, but I need peace at home. I'd like to be debt-free. Who wouldn't want to be debt-free? We start with that thought, and then we start thinking about, well, the obvious. What do I really need? Do I really need that new car? Could I settle for something a little bit more efficient or affordable? Used isn't as bad as I once thought it was. What do I need? Comes out of my want for wanting to be debt-free. And this past yesterday, can't believe it was just last night, Samaritan's Feet here. We had almost 500 children receive shoes and have their feet washed, and they received a prayer as somebody washed their feet and put socks, clean, brand new socks and shoes on their feet. I asked one of the people that worked, one of the couples that worked the entire event, what was your favorite part of the event? And Susanna, Dave, Rector, and they both said, seeing that set of siblings, those three children, dancing in their new shoes. What did they need? Shoes. And David said, yeah, but that, I also have to think about the little boy who, we gave him school supplies as well. He got a little shoulder bag with school supplies. The little boy who pulled his box of crayons out, and his face lit up as if somebody had given him the greatest treasure in the world. And he ran and he showed his mom. And it was like he was showing his mom a box of gold. Crayons. We go from I want to be debt-free to what do I really need? And this is the beginning of our pilgrimage, asking for the next 3 weeks, today and the next 3 weeks, what do I want? And then asking God as we walk, God, will you show me what I really need? Will you help me to see what I really need and give me the courage to make the changes in my life that I might have to make to get what I really need? This past week, I was at a continuing education retreat as a provisional pastor. I'm in the status of pastor, which I've completed seminary, I've been ordained, but I'm in the probationary period, and I think it's kind of with a sense of humor the Arkansas Conference of the Methodist Church says, you are a provisional candidate, which means provided you don't screw up, you get to be a pastor. So I'm in the provided I don't screw up phase. And as part of this phase, we are required to go to continuing education. And they call it a retreat, but it's actually four 12-hour days with very few breaks. But during one of those breaks, I was visiting with a friend of mine who is a pastor up in Bella Vista. And we were talking about this sermon series. And she said, I walked it. I walked the Camino. And I said, well, tell me about it. And I had to share this story with you. I'll let Judy tell you in her own words.
I'm Judy Rudd Platt. I'm the associate pastor at First Church in Bella Vista. And in the fall of 2014, I had the opportunity to walk the Camino de Santiago with my best friend. The opportunity came about because I had just graduated from seminary. And although I had been appointed to a local church, I was continuing to seek God's will and plan for my life. And so we started the journey and crossed the Pyrenees and headed the 500 miles to Santiago. What I need to tell you is that on that journey, we were trying to leave the busyness and the hectic lifestyles we had behind to seek God's plan and will for our lives. It was an incredible journey. The journey, each day we would get up and we would head out, and we had no idea where we were going to spend the night that night or where we were going to eat, who would we encounter on the trail. It was truly a pilgrimage, looking for the presence of God and God's will for my life and my friend, for her life as well. We would travel anywhere from 12 to 20 miles a day, depending on circumstances and where we were traveling, what kind of terrain we were in. But every single day, I spent hours with God. I spent hours talking to God, praying for other people, and wanting to know what God's plan was, where God was leading me. And I remember so clearly the day that I received an answer, and I was had just come through a small village, and I was headed into a tree-shaded lane, and this question came to me, and it was not an audible voice. It was just the sense of a question coming from somewhere deep within, and the question was, what would today and every day look like if you lived it as the forgiven, beloved child of God? The question still brings tears to my eyes, because it's not something that comes naturally to me, and I don't think it comes naturally to most of us. But as I walked with that question in my heart, I realized that to live each day as a forgiven, beloved child of God would mean I didn't have anything to prove to anybody. I didn't have to earn people's respect or validation. I could just be enough because I was God's beloved child. And it's something that I continue to struggle with. I continue to work towards. And you know, the thing about it is, it brings peace. It brings a peace that surpasses all understanding, to know that we are enough just exactly as we are.
As I look at the scripture for the next three weekends, four including this, I see how Luke has crafted his gospel. And Luke has crafted his gospel. He tells us so in the first chapter. He says that he has spent a considerable amount of time capturing the stories, collecting the stories of Jesus. And I put this all down for you, Theophilus, and it's my gift to you. And Theophilus is an interesting word, it's an interesting name, Theo and Phileo, friend or lover of God. Is that you? Is that me? Or is that a person named Theophilus? And as he has organized the stories, as the incredibly gifted writer that he is, over the next few weeks, we see a statement by Jesus, followed by a parable. And it appears that the statements, which are very challenging, are unlocked in a way by the key, the parable. I'll give you an example for this week. Our scripture, a little bit more of the section than what Ken read. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If you then are not able to do such a small thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? What do you want? He seems to be asking. Well, Jesus, I want a long, healthy life. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor sow. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. What do you want? Oh, Jesus, I want to look good. Well, if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Where is your faith? Do not keep striving for what you are to eat or what you want to drink. Oh, but Jesus, yeah, the table mesa, kale salad with spinach is pretty good. Eric, that's what the nations seek after. I'm offering you something different. Instead, strive for God's kingdom. And all of these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What's interesting is almost all of us have grown up in faiths that said Jesus came so that we could go to heaven. And what I'd like to offer you, and I'm going to say this repeatedly, that's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus came so that we could live and experience eternal life now that never ends. For once we have experienced God so powerfully now, what do we have to fear? The anxiety is gone, and we know we will be with God eternally. And these aren't my words. These are Luke's words. He continues this theme through chapter 17, in which he says specifically to those who are saying, Jesus, are there are only few that will find the way. And Jesus says, the kingdom does not come the way you think it will, for the kingdom is within you. Kingdom is here. The question is, how do we find it? For countless centuries, people have been finding the kingdom by understanding the key to this statement, the parable. Do not be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down and eat, and he will come and serve them. That didn't happen. That did not happen. We know there's something interesting happening here because that never happened. When the master came home from the wedding banquet, he was well fed and well lubricated and looking for bed. And if the slaves were there to welcome him in, they got him tucked comfortably into bed. The master did not come home from the wedding banquet, take off his tuxedo and put on the slaves' clothes, then tell the slaves, "You recline at the table while I prepare a meal for you." What is going on here? It's something much deeper than simply a surface-level reading. I think the key to what is going on here is wait. Wait for God. And for centuries, people have been praying to God in the means of waiting or a method of waiting. Often we think prayer means saying words to God. I'd like to offer a different perspective. What if God wants us to say, God, I am giving you an hour of my time today. I am sacrificing my most valuable commodity so that you and I might have a relationship. I'm going to give you an hour of my undivided attention just being with you. Yeah, right, Eric, come on. How are you going to do that? In your bulletin today is one method. And combined with another method, we have a way. The Jesus Prayer is an ancient, ancient prayer. We have two major branches of the Christian faith prior to the Reformation: Eastern Orthodox tradition and the Western Roman Church. Eastern Orthodox tradition separated from the Roman Church very early. And the Easterns, the Greeks and the Russians, their main focus is divinization, an experience of divine within us. And they use the Jesus Prayer, inhaling, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, exhaling, have mercy on me. Over and over, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, inhale, exhale, have mercy on me. And if you take the labyrinth that we've offered, it's a journey, like the way. We don't all need to go to Spain. We can walk the labyrinth with a pencil, with a stylus. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Very slowly and meditatively, being patient and listening and just being with God, focusing all of our attention on God, is one way. pray that prayer all day. Turn off the music. When you exercise, go for walks without music. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Take God with you. Say, God, I am devoting this time to you. When I run, I haven't run with music in years because it is so peaceful. It is so wonderful just to be with God. That prayer does change lives. That time with God does change lives. It's slowly. I wish we could flip switches and have God transform us and see instant results. It isn't the way that works. I know because I've lived this 10 years ago, 38 years old, vice president of a fairly large company, 19 years in that industry, and I had hit the point where I really couldn't take it anymore. My anxiety was crushing. Panic attacks were almost nonstop, and I knew I needed to have some kind of change in life. That change came from a transition guided by a friend of mine who was a pastor. And it led into a life of prayer. It led into seeking God. It was a way of God saying, Eric, I know what you want. I'm going to guide you into what you need. My usual day, I get up at 5 and I run, or I walk, or I exercise for 2 hours. By the time 7 o'clock rolls around, I've got 2 hours of prayer. Days that I don't exercise, I sit in prayer, and I pray through all of the names of the people in the congregation who are on my prayer requests list. And I don't pray anything specifically for them. I pray that they would experience God's presence. I go to bed reading theology. I know it sounds totally geeky, and I can't imagine anybody who would actually find that fun, but I do. This past year, it's been Greek theology, Eastern Orthodox theology. God guides me into the books. My life has changed. The anxiety is completely gone. Completely. When I started this ministry, it was all I could do to get up and read. I was in a Lutheran church at the time. And when they asked me to get up and read the scripture every Sunday, I thought I was going to die. I'm telling you, and I'm not joking, the anxiety was crushing. I would often look around me and see who I could beg to go read for me because I just couldn't do it. Because in this society, men that aren't able to perform in some way, shape, or form in front of others are considered weak. And what I wanted more than anything was to be free from that weakness. And God said, Eric, we're going on a journey. And this is going to be a long walk. And it feels like a whole lot more than 500 miles, but I'm also really realizing I'm at the beginning of this journey. Shell in one hand, holding on tight, saying, God, I'm a pilgrim. And God is drawing me ever deeper into what I really need, which is an intimate relationship with God here and now that I experience. See, the kingdom of heaven is not a place. The kingdom of heaven is a relationship. It is experiencing God today, powerfully. And God calls us into that relationship. And if I didn't give my wife a significant percentage of my time every day, we would have no relationship. And God is saying the same thing to us today. The Holy Spirit is here whispering in our ears. Jesus is talking to us. What do you want? And are you willing to change to get what you really need? Will you please pray with me? Holy Spirit, we are here to worship you. We are here to experience you. Join us in a powerful way. Open our hearts and minds and use what we want to guide us to what we truly need and give us the courage then to reach for it. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us this week. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, we invite you to come join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas, with multiple services each Sunday morning at 8:45, 9:45, and 11 a.m. Grace and peace, y'all.